I'd like to use the lens of the beginning of the summer and the ordinary time, the wearing of the green. It's the first ordinary Sunday we've had in a while, for Corpus Christi, Trinity Sunday, Pentecost, Easter, all of these feasts. You haven't seen the green on Greenfield. So, let's just take a moment to listen to a beautiful poem a friend of mine sent me this week, and I read it at my desk, and it really calmed me down. It's by Mary Oliver, and it's called The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and all too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I think that's a beautiful poem to get our summer started. What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And we're not talking about someone at the beginning of life, maybe a teenager graduating from high school. We're talking about the whole developmental continuum. All of us coming face to face with the limitations of our own developing personalities, figuring out what's next. Whether it's retirement, a health issue, a job, a marriage, a breakup, whatever. I share a story I heard here many years ago from Bob Wasnack. Remember him, the Sulpician priest who used to teach preaching at the Washington Theological Union? He shared a story about Bishop Ken Untner, the retired, well, actually, he died a few years ago. He was out in Saginaw, Michigan. And Bishop Ken, one day, was dealing with a friend of his, a religious sister, who was really in a crisis of sorts. So he invited this religious sister and her friend, another nun, to come and take some time off and spend a relaxing day at the lakeshore property that the diocese owned. Now, on that property, they got there, high on the hill, was a parish church and a rectory. So when the bishop and these two sisters arrived, the first thing they did was to take three lawn chairs out of the garage, place them on the lawn where they could relax and enjoy a lovely summer day. But just as they did so, they heard the pastor shouting down from the rectory window, "Put the lawn chairs back in the garage. The lawn chairs are not supposed to be out on the lawn." Church control. It would be like Father Kevin shouting from the rectory over here for someone eating a donut on the little wall there. Don't do that. Church, we know he wouldn't do that, would he? But church control. I'm thinking just a few weeks ago, Cardinal Tobin, the new Archbishop of Newark, invited LGBTQ group to the Cathedral Newark. They've been told they can't come there for the past few years. And he greeted them at the back door and said, "Welcome, I am Joseph, your brother." We have so many stories of what we as church can and can't do. I remember reading one time that the history of our church is shot through with grace and malpractice. There's an irony there, isn't there? But that pastor's fear, all of our fears, whether they're petty or whether they're really grand, they can seem small when one listens to the kinds of fears that Jesus prepares his followers for in our gospel today to get ready to go out in ministry. In this section of the gospel, Jesus tells them that because of him, they're going to face suffering, persecution, and death. Even that reading from the prophet Jeremiah, let me quote it again. I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who are my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine. How often in church are we looking over our shoulders, wondering what the other side is thinking? Not to mention politics. This is our plight today. Extreme violence and terrorism everywhere we turn. And as Christians, we cannot allow the cacophony of alarmist voices to win the day as we try to bring the best practices of Christian nonviolence to the fore. It's hard for us modern North Americans to fear that our following Christ will ever get us into that deep kind of trouble. But remember the senior at Columbine more than a few, who was asked whether she believed in God while a gun was shoved in her face as she courageously acknowledged Christ before her executors. Think of Coptic Christians in Egypt we've been hearing about. Think of the issue with health care that we're looking at this very week. Fear of so many in this country about losing health care is palpable. It's precisely the detrimental impact on the poor and vulnerable that makes the Senate draft so unacceptable to all of us as Christians. But these sufferings, these sacrifices, these fears, they can still seem distant to us. Because in a real way, sometimes we don't sit still long enough to feel the impact of all of our sisters and brothers around the world. That's why I believe we can relate more to the silly, to the tiny, to the unwarranted fears like that pastor not wanting the lawn chairs on the lawn. Even people who are faced with the most daunting of challenges in life, like a cancer diagnosis, can allow petty fears to block peace and healing. Oncologists have said, and I remember this from Father Bob Wasnek again, that the two things people ask when they are diagnosed, first one, how long do I have? And the second, will I lose my hair? And sometimes the two are not asked in that order. It's hard for someone facing chemotherapy or radiation to hear this gospel today saying, even the hairs on your head are always counted by the Lord. So do not be afraid. But we really need to believe that. Most of our fears need to be offset by those promising words of Jesus that none of us, not even a hair on our head, is ever lost. We hear God telling us not to be afraid as we begin our summer. But the shocking good news we hear is that we should fear God. What does Matthew tell us? Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. We do not fear God as we would fear a dentist doing root canal or a police officer pulling you over on I-95 for speeding. No, that's a foolish, childish notion of fearing God. The biblical notion of fearing God is much more positive. It always involves a deep and abiding sense of God's presence. It allows us to develop a vocabulary for wonder and awe and a respect for this God who's madly in love with us. And so as we begin our summer, may all of us have a fear of God, a fear that leads to wonder and awe, a fear that puts all the small stuff in perspective. Ordinary time this summer, the wearing of the green, is an invitation to slow down from the busyness of the year. Again from Mary Oliver, I don't know exactly what a prayer is, but I do know how to pay attention. What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Let summer be an opportunity to answer that question. May God be praised.